This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello and welcome to the Movie Podcast's Oscar recap episode. My name is Daniel. I am one of your hosts today. And joining me on this night of nights, the night of the golden trophies, it is Anthony.
Well, hello, Oscar attendees. I don't know what to call you guys, but hello.
And Shabazz.
I'm just Shabazz. No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I don't think it works as well. We just wrapped up watching the 96th annual Oscars. There's some high moments, there's some low moments, and we're going to walk you through all of them because this is the Movie Podcast. Of course, you can catch brand new episodes all throughout the week with new episodes, interviews, and reviews, and all the latest movies and series. We have so much going on this week on the Movie Podcast, and we are so excited to share it with you all. Make sure you are tuning in to our socials at the Movie Podcast. Check our show notes below for everything you need to know. Follow us on Discord, on YouTube, because this is going to be a week of weeks and you do not want to miss it. And it all starts with our Oscar recaps. Now, how this is going to work today, we're just going to each go around round robin, give us our overall thoughts on the show, not necessarily about who won, who lost, more about the vibe and the setup and what we thought about the show overall, and then we'll get more into the winners and the people who do not win of the night. One thing I do want to kick things off of, what I will say, I think the production of the show this year was really well put together. But I was really confused, and this is a moment that I keep thinking about from the night. I'm so confused at having this moment on stage honoring the stunt performers' work.
Oh yeah.
And it almost felt like they were building up to, guess what, guys? We're about to announce that the stunt category is going to be a category moving forward at the Oscars.
It's like the bare minimum they did by just saying, man, stunts are hard and we gotta give a gold star to those stunt performers.
Yeah, it's like, thanks guys, thanks so much for being here. Never mind, you're not here tonight.
Could have been a great moment of being like, yeah, this next year we're gonna have a stunt category.
It's so easy. Been amazing to see. It's so easy to add it. You took, you know, 5 minutes to do this whole thing on stunts. You could have a stunt category and still made time. And I feel like the only reason they had this category or this time was because you have Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, who are in a movie that is taught that works around stunts, and it's about a stunt worker. It boggles the mind that you think you have this opportunity to appease a group of people who've been in Hollywood for so long, who have been part of Hollywood for so long, and you still don't do it. And I think what is next year or the year after, there's going to be a new award that's just a generic
best cast ensemble,
which,
yeah, it's like let's give more awards to the actors, yeah, but let's, how about the people who stand in for them the majority of the time?
Does the casting director, I guess, win that award?
Yeah, I'm assuming so. Like, it's, I don't think it's the cast who's going to get actors, like Oscars. It's a Screen Actors Guild or something like that.
This was a weird participation trophy.
It is. It's another weird way of just, you know, here we are going to highlight the people that, yes, casting directors do deserve to be awarded, but so do stunt performers. So it was a weird moment of the night, and I just wanted to kind of get that out of the way. But Anthony, give us your overall thoughts on the 96th Academy Awards.
Overall, I thought it was a decent award ceremony. I think still, even though we had 30 minutes extra time because it started 30 minutes, you know, earlier, I still think it's very long. It's a very long process, the Academy Awards, to watch, to experience, to go through. I think if you are part of that audience, I think it works well. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But I just feel like if you are watching this, you grow tired of everything that you're watching by the 2.5 hour mark. It's just like, okay, let's go. Let's get it done. I wasn't a fan of the actors and actresses prior announcing the current nominee list,
like bringing back the former winners to announce, because it did take up a huge chunk of time,
and it wasn't just the time, it just felt almost disingenuous. I just don't feel like they actually watched the movies that were there. I just felt like, yeah, they're gonna talk about, they're gonna mention how great they were, but did you actually watch their performance? And it felt scripted, and it felt like even the people that were chosen, they just felt like, oh, this is not the right people to have here. But overall, it was a better award ceremony than prior years. I would say that. I think the Ken Ryan Gosling, show was probably the best part of the show. I think they killed it.
One of the best performances in recent years of the Oscars, I would say.
Oh yeah, hands down.
Yeah,
right.
That was a wicked performance.
Very, very cool. And yeah, then overall, it was okay. It was decent. I think people who were part of it were able to share it and experience it. And, for those who thought, certain people would win, I feel like it was a pretty safe award ceremony. There wasn't a lot of shockers, because, it was Oppenheimer's year and a lot of those awards went to Oppenheimer. But
I will say I did like seeing the former winners on stage. I just wish that they was a little bit more tighter, because it turned into just a conversation of them talking directly to the person, where I really all night I was just like, let me see a proper scene of them. Like give me that "I don't like your phrase" Emily Blunt scene, or give me a scene why are these people nominated?
Yeah, yeah. There's I think for myself, I think this is one of the best Oscars you've gotten in a while. I know it's tough to say that because the last couple have been very COVID based and not that, interesting. But this one, I felt like the time kind of just went by and I was like, okay, I was engaged all the way through. When it comes to the presenters, yeah, I see both sides. I see the, it can get kind of boring and or just kind of takes up too much time. But I did like seeing them. I don't know if I'd like that every year. Maybe every 5 years, if they did something like that, that'd be cool. Every year, though, maybe might be a bit too much. I think kind of just letting the awards come in and doing the video like they normally do is a great way. I do feel like the thing that was missing for me this time, though, is it didn't feel like there was a lot of celebration of the movies.
What a surprise. Something that we always complain about being missing.
It's still missing. It just kind of still feels like we're powering through to get these awards done, but taking time to celebrate the movies, I think, is a big, really important thing. I also wasn't a huge fan of the In Memoriam, because I think it kept switching every 5 seconds to a different screen, different style. And that was taking up way too much time away from the names that were on there, that at the end of it, we got 20 or so names that were just on a sheet at the end.
It reminded me one of those Apple keynotes, at the end, and plus these new features,
these features are coming too.
Plus these people died, and you're squinting. Yeah. You have a monocle in your eye. You're like, who are those people?
Yeah, and some of them were big names. You had Sinead O'Connor up there.
Yeah, and you were getting the audience feed, so you weren't actually getting if that was a full screen thing for us watching at home, where the majority of people are.
It's all we need.
That makes sense. Yeah. But when you're trying to really see, yes, I know the dancing and everything looks amazing.
Right.
But not really the time for
it. Not really the time for it.
There were some really good pairings though for reading the nominees, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. I think being up there was fantastic. I think that they had a great moment. John Mulaney had a great moment for best sounds. And then Al Pacino at the end of all of this, just being like, Oppenheimer.
I see Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Are you announcing it?
Yeah, it almost takes, I always think about those Oscar moments that are going to go into the Academy Museum, or the ones that they'll play in montages, even though they don't really do montages now, that will be in the future, will be like, and the winner for the best picture goes to Oppenheimer.
And the Oscar goes
to... We didn't get that. It felt like such a weird moment. And it's like, oh man, Al Pacino's coming out. We're 50th anniversary of Godfather. He worked with Nolan 20 years ago. And
a cutoff age for presenters.
You knew. I think he was drunk, man. You knew. He came on stage. His tie was loosened. He was kind of disheveled. He was a little
drunk, dude. He's a new father. Lethargic, he was up all night.
You know, like he had this
watching his baby.
But honestly, it's when you're he's 83. You're gonna be like, oh, let's get Al Pacino to announce this. And Al Pacino's like throughout the years of seeing him on screen as well as in a situation like this, he's never been the best person to give an award. No, like maybe Steven Spielberg, yes, because you know he did best director and it worked well and it looked good. But when you give it to an actor,
where were the Daniels?
Oh yeah, it's true. Where were the Daniels? I don't know, Daniel. You tell me.
I'll put word out. I'll drop like a Daniel thumper and see if they come running. But like, yeah, like where, like it always makes sense to me when it's like, okay, whoever won it last year has the baton to pass to whoever wins this year. And like, it's just strange to me. That's like, okay, Al Pacino, that's great. But maybe let's give the biggest award of the night to somebody who is going to feel like they're really honoring that best award of the night. It felt like such a really anticlimactic way to end the event because he says, I read Oppenheimer and I'm Al Pacino. And all of a sudden the crowd roars and he even reacts.
She's like, got a big ass. And you're like, wait like, a
that's
minute.
That's what he's got to introduce.
Oh, wait a minute. That's Mr. Pacino.
Mr. Pacino, that's his wife.
You can't say that.
He just went way off script and you're like, or maybe that was, but like whatever, they didn't dress rehearsal. Maybe he didn't go to dress rehearsal. I don't know. Very, very weird way to end the nights. What did you guys think of Jimmy Kimmel though?
Oh, this was his worst time. This was easily his most phoned in. I don't really care. I'm just here because they couldn't find somebody kind of, hosting gig. Like I have no ill will against Jimmy Kimmel. Like he doesn't bother me or anything like that, but like dude did not make a dent in my impression of tonight at all.
No, it felt like very just like low hanging fruit jokes. And it wasn't like something like Joe Coy, cause he at least had some like funny moments,
but we got another, oh, movies are too long joke.
Like, yeah.
When is that gonna end?
Movies are too long. Oh, did you guys get your kids to vote for best animated? Like, come on. Like we're past this. Come on. There's like, this is like, it's such like the lowest hanging fruit, such boring jokes.
He phoned it in, man.
Yeah.
Phoning.
And that's why like, I got so excited when like, you know, you have Arnold on stage, you have Danny DeVito on stage, and they're like, yeah, Batman, you son of a bitch. It's like, oh, that's funny. Like, those are funny moments, but I wish Kimmel's monologue.
You can't be funny with these people. You can't. You can't be funny in Hollywood anymore. Yeah. You'd be canceled or like you'd be labeled as.
It's not even just that. I think you could have better jokes, though. Like, oh, we're getting the same jokes. Come on.
You could get
Mulaney was killed funny.
Yeah, but like, that's John
it.
Mulaney. Let me get my bow tie. And he literally is Woody from fucking Toy Story. On the stage right there.
Oh,
and
he was funny. One of the most hated characters in animation.
Oh, I hated Woody. His little
what? You hated Woody?
Yeah, Woody sucks, what? Man. Compared to Buzz Lightyear, get out of here. Buzz Lightyear all the way. When Woody decided to leave the toys at the end of Toy Story 4, I was like, finally, you figured it out.
Yeah.
The weight, the anchor of the group is gone.
Dude, I told you.
No, but
AI.
But you know, man. AI is going to host next year.
Yes,
the entity will host next year.
No, but it's just like man, it like you look at what's possible in some of these pairings, and then again it just makes you go, wow, we really don't need a host. That year the Oscars didn't have a host, just run smoothly. Jimmy Kimmel just kept popping out. I think the John Cena bit was really funny too, where him coming out naked, I'm like, yeah, like this works. This is like good moments. And then of course, you know, Ryan Gosling stealing the whole damn thing with I'm Just Ken. But yeah, you just need to have, I don't know. There's just a lot to be desired when it comes to hosts. And I feel like it's been the same thing for the last 15 years. And the Oscars haven't really shucked that. But let's get to the actual winners of the night. Shabazz, I'm going to get you to start us off. What were your biggest surprises of the night?
Biggest surprises? Wow, that's a great question, Danielle. I will say for sound, I kind of had a feeling that Zone of Interest would win. But
yeah.
I put Oppenheimer because I think Oppenheimer did have better sound. I don't know. There wasn't much of a surprise. I think for documentary short film, The Barber of Little Rock not winning.
Yeah.
big shock.
Big shock for us. Big shock for us. Here.
No, everything kind of went as expected. I feel like anything that I didn't get right, it was because I chose with my heart.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't use my mind for them.
Right. I have a lot here where it's like, this is who I want to win, and then here's the asterisks of who I think is going to win. But yeah, I'm with you. I think sound. My goodness, the zone of interest winning for sound makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, it's not always the amount of sound, but it's how it's used.
Oh,
that,
you know
that film has a.
Sorry, I think I know what kind of surprised me.
Oh yeah, what is that?
Because I think the movie was okay. I don't think I was in love with the movie as everybody else's.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
That's the screenplay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think American Fiction winning over honestly all four of the other films was a bit of a surprise to me. I think American Fiction's a fine film. It just didn't blow the socks off of me like I think the other films did in this list. So that was what really surprised me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it almost feels like it's part of the narrative of that film, right?
Yeah.
When you think you're like, oh, like, of course it's going to win Best Adapted at the Oscars.
It was another one of those like, oh yeah, this has to win because it's what it's making fun of.
Right, exactly. Anthony, how about you? Any big surprises of the night?
No, I think the only one that I thought would win would be sound, but then looking back at it, yeah, Zone of Interest, there's not a lot of dialogue in it, but it is sound is a big part of it, and the visual aspect of Zone of Interest. So I think that was a something I kind of looked over when I was choosing my choices. But overall, it was everything was safe. Like I said, it's a safe Oscars. There was never a shocker like, whoa, like Lily Gladstone won Best Actress. And you knew she wasn't going to do it, even though there was like this whole push for her because she's the first Native American to be nominated. And there was this kind of like this feeling that a lot of people had because of that.
Yeah.
But like you knew Emma Stone was going to win, and Oppenheimer winning Best Picture makes sense. Best Director, Christopher Nolan. Like you can see, especially being in our world, we've seen the awards for the Golden Globes, SAGs, BAFTA. Like
17 months now, I think we've been seeing them.
They're all the same. And those same people that are part of that world are part of the Academy world too. I was very happy with
very true.
Ludwig, because he was his music for Oppenheimer is, I think, the best score
it changed
ever.
You. It changed you.
Yeah, it did change me.
You were a different man now.
Violin man strings now will change you. And Hoyt Van Hoytma, you know, his cinematography for Oppenheimer is one of those things you just study and study and study. And you're going to, how we watched that film 7 times, 8 times in 70 millimeter IMAX and it being on film. Fantastic. Even editing. Like she was so young. I forgot the editor's name. She has a...
Jennifer Lame or something like
Jennifer
that?
Jennifer Lame. Yeah, because I remember her last name, Lame. I'm like, that's such a lame name. But even her, like she...
It might have been somebody, Jennifer Lame, yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer Lame. She was able to edit in a format that... I can't speak for her, but like just in my mind, like, how many times has she worked in film on IMAX? Like, you know, like she's so young, like that's something that you just don't do. Yeah. And she was able to create the story and tell this narrative that's so nonlinear. And Oppenheimer, big, big win for them this week. And for all those who say, oh, Oppenheimer's boring, it's too long. Shut up. You clearly see Listen, you were wrong.
You really pegged those people.
We can finally rest, right? We've been talking about Oppenheimer Oscars for, you know, since we watched the film, and for them to come away with 7 Oscars, this is the most I've ever wanted a movie to win Oscars. And, you know, as a diehard Nolan fanboy the last 20 years of my life, it's so redeeming and it's so incredible to see, like, he has it now. What is he going to do after this? Nolan has never felt like he's been making a movie to win an Oscar, right? His films happen to be nominated for Oscars, but his movies always feel like cinematic experiences first. You look at from the very beginning of his career to right now, nothing about Oppenheimer feels like it's like Bates. You know, there's a lot of dialogue. Yes, there's not a lot of action in it, but you're never bored. And no. I think it's a testament to a movie like that making nearly $1 billion at the box office. You know, yes, the meme of Barbenheimer was big, but it wasn't like, you don't have a movie that turns into almost $1 billion writing just because of Barbie. That's not the case at all.
Yeah. No. People were not going to see Oppenheimer only because of Barbie. People saw Oppenheimer because it was a fantastic film. I could probably say that maybe like $150 million of that entire run was probably because of Barbie. It helped. People were probably doing double features, but I don't think anything beyond that, like all the rest of the close to $1 billion was all because of Oppenheimer. People were seeing that movie more than once in theaters.
Yeah. It's wild.
What's the audience score for Oppenheimer? Because just the audience score
right now on Rotten Tomato.
Yeah. Because you think about it, the audience really, really liked that film, especially because it's a very dialogue heavy film.
Yep. We have the Certified Fresh critic score, which we are a part of, is at 93%. The audience score, which has over 10,000 verified ratings, mm-hmm. is at 91%.
Wow.
So people really liked Oppenheimer.
How's Dune looking? I'm just curious because that's going to be next year.
We're retiring Oppenheimer. Now we're on Dune Watch.
We're not retiring Oppenheimer. We're on Dune Watch now.
So listen to this. Dune Part 2, also at 93%. Audience score right now 95%, but only 2,500 verified.
Still
ratings.
Pretty good.
Still very good. So
movie's been out for 10 days right now.
Almost 2 weeks. Yeah, it's wild to think that. Yeah. But what a road it's been with Oppenheimer. This has been the film that we've really been championing here and loving here on the movie podcast. It's great to see Cillian Murphy taking home a trophy. It's amazing to see Robert Downey Jr. taking home a trophy. Emma Stone winning, and you mentioned earlier, Lily Gladstone was that person that a lot of people were rooting for, and I think we chose, like Shay and I chose for the narrative of it, but we had a feeling too that it would be Emma Stone, and then obviously a Divine Joy Randolph winning for The Holdovers. That was never, I think, not in the cards because she was just so damn incredible in that film. Any surprises with animated feature? I mean, Boy and the Heron winning, Hayao Miyazaki not there to accept the award.
He's just tired. He's like, nah, I'm okay.
He's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
No surprise.
Yeah. Like it's, I think he's at an age again that the award doesn't mean much. It's more of his legacy and the films that he makes. Like a lot of that is culturally different, right? Like Japan, the Japanese culture is not significantly, big award. I need to win this award, even though Godzilla Minus One, that the whole crew came out with their little Godzilla statues.
What a moment.
Great moment.
What a moment that was.
But I just, again, it's not something that's forefront in having their legacy. It's more of what they've created and how that connects with the audience is what really drives those people. And Miyazaki is, I think, in that mindset. Okay, I won, sure. But I'm going to keep making movies and doing these things that no one else can do.
Yeah. Very well said. Wes Anderson winning his first Academy Award.
Not being there.
He was not there because he starts shooting his next film in Germany tomorrow. But wild to think that he was not there to accept his first Oscar of the night or the first Oscar in his career.
Weird.
Yeah, very weird. But I it's a strange film too. Like the strange short films that I don't know if a lot of people watched or know about. So I even feel like he was a little skeptic if he was going to win or not,
Yeah.
He's also like the biggest name in that category.
Yeah. I mean, we chose it purely based on recognizability alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
We really did. Now let's, we're kind of winding down here. We're just giving our right off the cuff announcements, or I guess thoughts on the night. Any of you have a favorite moment of the night? Favorite moment of Oscars night? It could be an award that was won. It could be just a performance. It could be an introduction, reading of the nominees. Any favorite moments of the night? Anthony, when you're ready.
I mentioned, I'm Just Ken being a big part of the Oscars. I think that's very memorable. I'll always remember that. Godzilla Minus One team going up and accepting their award. Cillian Murphy accepting awards, just being very humble and gracious. He like shook everyone's hand and he made sure that, he was a proud Irishman. And even though he's not this big entity that a lot of these actors could be, he was just very humble and gracious. And I loved his speech. I'm trying to think. There's nothing else. Like Christopher Nolan, his, it was good. It's just a lot of great things to see. I'm just really happy Christopher Nolan won his first Oscar for a movie that he really, really cared about and really part of his legacy. It's not something that it took 7 or 10, well, probably 7 in his career, but I mean like 10 or 12 nominations of Best Picture to Best Director to get to
this. It wasn't like Scorsese, right? Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to give it to you for The Departed. Again, best film, hands down, for that year. But it wasn't like...
It wasn't Goodfellas, right? It wasn't Goodfellas. It was a Raging Bull. Goodfellas.
Exactly. Yeah. I think... I'm right there with you. There's two moments that stand out for me, and they're both moments that you said. I'm Just Ken.
Yeah.
Should have opened the Oscars. That 100% definitely. Should have been the opening song of the night. That would have kicked things off with such incredible energy. Kenergy, sorry. And also, of all people to hand Christopher Nolan the award for Best Director, there is no director alive who would have made me more emotional than seeing Steven fucking Spielberg give it to you. That is something that, like, Christopher Nolan growing up as a child, watching the films that inspire him, being like, imagine this man giving you an Oscar. Like, that is the ultimate achievement you could have as a director.
What if it was Christopher Nolan giving himself the award?
Damn, Tenet. Is he in a temporal pincer right
you
now?
You know, when Christopher is always time. So imagine he showed up from the future to give himself the award. No, but it's nice to see.
I see it.
What a moment that was. It's like Steven Spielberg, the creator of the blockbuster. You know, I truly do see Christopher Nolan. I think of Christopher Nolan's name in that echelon of directors, on that Mount Rushmore of directors, of like, here are the people shepherding this industry forward right now.
Yeah.
Right. And he's 100%. That's him. And you have Spielberg basically passing the baton, saying like, okay, kid, keep going, keep running. What a moment that was. Shabazz, how about you?
You guys listed pretty much the big ones for me. I think another great one was Jonathan Glazer, when his acceptance speech for the Zone of Interest, talking about what's happening in Palestine and literally like pointing the mirror right back. Like, this movie that I've made here, this is happening right now on the other side of things. So it's kind of like, that was just, I thought that was beautiful. I'm really glad to see that he called it out, because if he didn't, it would have been really weird to see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was a phenomenal moment. Love seeing the red pins, love seeing the Palestine pins. There's a lot of support tonight, which is
nice. He was really nervous to say it too. Like, you could see his hands were shaking and he had his acceptance speech. Yeah. It's because he's also Jewish. So it's kind of like you're going against your faith, but it's just, you're putting a line in the sand, especially how you feel as a Jewish person seeing this happen. Right. So I totally forgot about that, because I remember messaging you guys saying, wow, that he's acknowledging
it. He said it. He went there. Yeah.
He acknowledged it. He did it. He went there. It was just one of those moments where like you said, Anthony, like, he's scared to say it. And like, I'm scared to even talk about it. I'm sure you guys are scared to talk about it, because again, in this industry, it's they don't want to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's any controversy. It's anything that's anything. And Anthony said it, we were talking about comedians at the top of this episode. Right. It's like anything that is not about the moment right now. It's like, why are you bringing that up? Why are you bringing up the present? Why are you bringing up, you know, a genocide on the other side of the world? It's like, how dare you? But I'm glad that we had those moments.
I'm glad we did too.
And the representation of that, so I think it was a big deal.
Another moment, and this is, again, I just remembered, Messi was able to attend.
Messi made it.
And clap.
I feel like it was a whole thing.
I think so.
Just because they had pause for him. They had a little pause to clap. Like, there's no way they were able to prep that. I think it was just this whole thing to get, like, you know, hype around
outrage.
It. Outrage.
And get marketing around it, right?
Yeah.
We made a damn TikTok about it, right? So they got us. We got God.
I think so. I think we got God. I think it was all Messi. And he planted that seed, and I felt like it was like, Disney didn't want me to be here, and I'm going to be here. And he made his way. I don't know where he's from. I guess he's from France or Germany.
He's from France. He's going to bite Bob Iger. He's 100%.
A French dog. Let's be honest.
He's a French dog.
He is definitely a French dog.
He's seen things. I was seeing I've seen people like tweet like, man, I just want to see like a picture of like Cillian Murphy talking to Messi the dog because they're so piercing blue.
Intense. Yeah. No, like, I want to see them have a staring contest. Wow.
But, you know, I think what, you know, to sum it all up, I mean, the Oscars, for all of the pretentiousness, the all the pageantry that surrounds them, there are a lot of good messages that come out of it. There's a lot of amazing movies that come out of it that shine a light on a lot of films that may not have been given the proper light of day. And I think, you know, we make a joke about like, oh, you know, documentary or documentary short, but so many of them, when you actually see them and you learn what they're about, you're like, oh, you know what? I should check this out. I should watch this. So I'm keeping this list of movies. We'll keep this list of movies and hopefully, you know, we'll circle back and I'm going to make it my mission, hopefully, to try and watch some of these before the end of the year, because there's some really important stories being told that don't always get their due. And like Shay said, I think, to not acknowledge it is worse, right? So let's hopefully, yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. Any other moments of the night you guys want to talk about before we wrap up this Oscar recap?
No,
we're good to go. Nope. It's been a long Oscar season. And it's finally coming to an end. March 10th. There we go. It is over. Thank you so much for joining us on the Movie Podcast. Of course, we'll have lots of incredible episodes coming out this week and some really cool announcements. So stay tuned to our socials at the Movie Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Letterboxd, wherever you are. The Movie Podcast will be there. Hit us up on Discord. We're talking about the Oscars right now, and we'll be talking about them throughout the rest of the week. And we have some really great reviews and reactions coming your way. So stay tuned for all of that and more. And if you have a couple bucks to toss our way, it helps us out a lot. That was this time with the Movie Podcast, and we'll see you next.